of Flanders.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk and Spitfire Radio up there in Lincolnshire. Welcome to the show. As you can probably tell, I'm not Amanda. This is Paul Andrews standing in for Amanda. And I'm absolutely delighted and thrilled to be joined in the studio by the lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning. It's great to be here, so thank you.
It's a little haven of tranquility in here, isn't it?
Yeah,
in our little studio, just me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
8 feet apart.
I know. Enough distance between us.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to be doing a show special today. We're going to be looking at what's going on out in the business world there and in society in general with the chaos that's going on with the coronavirus issues. And we're going to be exploring what small businesses can do, especially using social media, to try and come to terms with what's going on, how to use social media more effectively.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about this in a minute as well, Zoe. I've already seen some really stupid stuff that's been done by people, and I want to just highlight that and just warn people not to do stupid stuff.
I agree.
Yeah, and we've also had loads of people with some fantastic suggestions about how to stay in business, basically, while we can't do anything with anybody else. So we've got loads to talk about.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to join in with the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. And probably the best way to do that is to tweet us.
Yeah, perfect.
And you can either tweet Zoe or tweet me. Zoe's Twitter address is Zoe_Cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S. Or you can tweet ZC Social Media or Vanilla Web and use the hashtag BBunker and then we'll find you.
Perfect.
Yeah, so do tweet in or Facebook in, and we are going out on Facebook Live as well.
Yeah, we're on Facebook Live.
Yeah, so, fantastic. Yeah. So you can see me as well. Sorry about that. but it's worth seeing Zoe. But anyway, listen, we want to hear from you. And I want to say a big thank you to the show sponsor, which is Fit for Trade. They offer flexible training solutions for the glass glazing and wider construction industries. So www.fitfortrade.co.uk for all your training, qualifications, occupational compliance and peace of mind. Do check them out. Do have a look at what they do. They're fantastic. And thank you so much for supporting the Business Bunker and the Business Bunker Extra show. So, where should we start, Zoe? How are you first? I think probably the best way to start.
Okay, I think I think before I come here, you know, Gareth said, what are you going to talk about? Make sure it's not all doom and gloom, because there's so much doom and gloom already going out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about really helping businesses. At the moment, everyone's panicking, aren't they? It's panic stations.
Yeah, I mean, so many businesses are being affected, my own included. We've been very badly hit. For those of you that don't know, I own Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment portal, and nobody's hiring. Well, that's not entirely true, but most recruitments come to a grinding halt. There are certain sectors like supermarkets and delivery and healthcare that are recruiting, but they tend to be national chains that have their own recruitment methods. There's a lot of bad news about, and maybe we'll kind of have to touch on some of that. But you're quite right, Zoe. We want to try and lift the spirit a bit.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. So let's kick off by just having some thoughts on what you've seen over the. I mean, blimey, it's only been a week and a bit, hasn't it?
And to be fair, in terms of what has been going on, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Since December, but we never thought it was going to happen like this here.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people have been reaching out, and I thought you would be the perfect person. been reaching out, asking me how on earth did I get through it? Because when I started my business in another recession, so 2008, and I'm sure you may have experienced.
This is my third.
Exactly.
This is my third.
I thought, how great in terms of us saying, you know, we have been through something similar. Probably not to this extent, though.
No, that's true.
In terms of what's going on, but I think it's. Really good to be able to put across to people, look, there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know when.
Yeah.
However, it's looking at how we can maybe reset and really re-strategise what we're currently doing.
Yeah.
But maybe not so as quick as some people have been doing online to the extent that they're going to damage their reputation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of what you said there really rings a bell. And you're absolutely right. I've been through two recessions with my own businesses, and I kind of reacted in the same way to both of them.
Yeah.
The first one, I can't even remember, it was in the 80s, in the late 80s, early 90s. And life was a lot different then.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. You know, there was no internet, let alone social media.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were in a different ball game. And one of the reason that I say that is, of course, because although it was a horrible recession, the panic didn't spread because the communication channels weren't there
of
to
course,
spread
yeah.
the panic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't see enough people to worry everybody, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But we got through that. We hunkered down and we just worked our way through it and cut our prices, cut our costs, shed as much overhead as we could and minimalized and got through it. With the second one, we still weren't at social media, really.
Yeah, no.
It was the financial crisis of 2007, 2008. The internet was there, obviously, because we were an internet business. But in that one, what we did is we diversified.
Yeah, and that's what I did.
Yeah, yeah. And funnily enough, this is going to make you laugh, we diversified into events. Ain't going to work this time, is it? Yeah. And we launched the Business to Business, Kent Business to Business, and South East Business to Business, and Essex Business to Business. And that sustained us. We went out face-to-face, and that sustained us for a few years.
Brilliant.
We've got to do the same with this one.
Yeah.
We've got to diversify, but it's a question of diversifying into what.
We're
heavily brainstorming at the moment about what we can do to...
And it's being different because everyone's going online with their events.
Yeah.
Everyone's going online with training. I think people are going to be saturated right now in what ones to actually choose and what's right for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. I had a tweet from Avexio, who an events company.
Yeah.
And they're saying, the world of events is not over, it's just on hold, as we all postpone our live events. We're not taking our events online.
No.
Yeah. We just love the feel of a live event, of that face-to-face interaction.
It's important, yeah.
Instead, what we're doing is we're working behind the scenes so that we're ready when we're through this and we're ready to launch back with what we want to do.
Brilliant. That's great. And building that brand awareness of XEO as well in terms of how good you are, what are the key things that you've done over the years and people's testimonials, just really building that brand awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. I did read out an email from Andrew Harkin, who's a copywriter and marketing specialist on the Bunker Show on Tuesday. I haven't got the email to hand, but Andrew came up with some fantastic ideas,
good.
Which a lot of people have adopted now. Not least of which are a couple I can tell you about. Local pub and restaurant near me, the Bull at Benenden, sent me an email yesterday. I love this. I absolutely love this. It says, you can still take your mum out for Sunday lunch, except you can't come here. Yeah. But you can. What you got to do is bring a plate and a jug.
Right.
Right. And they've got a Sunday carvery.
Yeah.
But you go in. You serve it onto your own plate. They'll put
and
some coffee and you take it home. And what they've done is they've it's brilliant.
It's good.
They've scheduled 10-minute gaps.
Oh, wow.
So there's only you there getting it. So you don't have to meet anyone else.
Great, and how great of a novelty. And how you will remember it. It'll be memorable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant idea. That's the Bull at Benenden.
That.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I love that. And then my great friends, Graham and Debbie from Chives Catering.
Yeah.
They are top end caterers. What they're doing is they're doing home gourmet dinners.
Oh, wow, that would be amazing as well.
And so, effectively, I've got to order one of those. It's Amanda's birthday next week.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and it's also Bird's birthday next week. So, lovely Sarah Ann Lucas. Don't tell anyone. She's 50.
We won't mention it, though.
On Monday. And Amanda, who's not 50, on Tuesday. So, happy birthday to both of you.
Happy birthday, both.
We were going out to one of our favourite restaurants in London to celebrate Amanda's birthday. We got an email from them cancelling it. They've cancelled it, not us, you know, because they can't open. There's so many people. And I understand. So we'll probably be getting in some lovely grub from Chives.
I was speaking to Claire Poynter and the lovely Beverly Bunn. It's Beverly Bunn's birthday.
Right.
And we've spoken about doing a virtual drink.
Right.
Where we come on Zoom, we all have our glass of wine and we all have our chat as if we were around a table.
Absolutely.
And doing something like that.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I had a message earlier from Phil Wilson, Pip Drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one for the show today, Phone a Friend Friday. Give a homebound buddy a ring just to say hello.
Yeah, that's nice.
Let them know that you're thinking of them. I had a call out of the blue today, no other reason than just for a chat. So you have their phone number, go on, give them a bell. do you know what? It's a funny thing, isn't it? And I think a lot of this, I'm a great fan of social media, as are you.
Yeah.
This sounds like I'm knocking it, but I'm not. But one of the things about social media is we tend to talk to everybody online these days.
I do it
all the time. If I want to chat to someone, I'll tweet them. But we don't call people anymore. We have phone calls, obviously, but they tend to be business, don't we?
Yeah.
It's very rare. Although I phoned my mum this morning, bless her. My mum's 91. She's isolated, because none of us can visit and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So I rang her this morning. And I got two of her crossword clues for her, so we're okay.
That's great. And they're talking about, I think I saw an ad out on Facebook still, but it was a good ad. It was like, for Mother's Day, why not get your mum a Facebook portal? The ones that can go on their TV and you can then have video conferences.
Oh, okay.
But to be fair, my nan probably wouldn't really understand how to use it.
Yeah.
And normally we'd be the ones going around to sort the technology out for her to try and get it to work. And that can't happen.
Yeah. Well, my sister rang me and she said, oh, you couldn't pop round to mum's and put FaceTime on her iPad, could you? And I went, no.
No.
I said, oh, damn, no, of course you can't.
And it's exactly that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are things that we can do.
Yeah.
We do have to try and think constructively. I just want to make a statement as well. I have great sympathy for the government.
Yeah.
You know, they've inherited something that they weren't expecting to inherit and they've had to react to it. So this isn't knocking them.
No.
But there is a tendency to do this with government, and I wish they'd learn a lesson here. They've announced a whole raft of packages to support businesses. The problem is the people that are delivering it, local authorities, most of them haven't got a clue.
And
I want to come on and sing some praise for one that has in a minute. Yeah. But basically, they haven't got a clue how to deliver it. Wouldn't it be far easier, government, if you just said, don't pay us for a while?
Yeah.
Rather than set in chain a whole set of things where I've got to go and claim $3,000.
Yeah, or pour something. And the amount of phone calls people have got to make to do that.
And then, I phoned a local council, Canterbury Council, and they go, I don't know. I've got a praise, Maidstone Council. I have to sing the praise of Maidstone Council.
Yeah.
We had an email from Maidstone Council, and it said, we've recognised what the government are doing. Don't worry. We will handle this.
Oh, wow.
We will identify all the businesses that don't need to pay rates and we won't charge you.
Oh, wow, that's...
We'll also identify all the businesses that are due the $25,000 grant and we'll send you the money.
That's brilliant.
And that's fantastic.
They're one of a kind, though, Paul.
Yeah, they are. Nobody else that I know of is doing that. And that is the kind of response we need. So huge, huge respect to Maidstone Borough Council for taking that on board and doing that. But in general, what I prefer to see as a business owner is for the government to say, tell you what, don't pay any national insurance.
Yeah.
Don't pay your VAT bill. Yeah. Don't pay your corporation tax.
Yeah.
Just hang in there and they're going to get it anyway, eventually.
They are. And they're going to have a number of calls rather than just them putting out a broadcast about it.
Yeah. So that's the way that I would go with it. Anyway, I want to hear from you, Zoe, on some of the positive things that we can start to do and some of the things to be wary of in the social media sphere.
Yeah, I think lots of people are seeing this as an opportunity in terms of the C word, in terms of jumping on that, on the back of the hashtag, or seeing it as a way to promote their product and service.
Mm.
And I've seen a lot of people messaging me saying, this is really dangerous, should we reach out to this brand? And I have reached out to quite a few people to say, if you want to keep your reputation and make sure that people see you in a respectful way, then I'd really be wary of what you're posting out.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like when the terrorism attacks in Paris, I don't know if you remember, there was a hotel that, jumped on the back of the hashtag of that and started promoting their hotel services.
Mm.
And it was a perfect example of what not to do on social media. So I think there's some real negatives out there, but the positives are, at the moment, people are in panic streams. And I think until people actually get into a new routine and the new norm of working from home remotely and getting used to this isolation, I think at the moment, in pushing too much of your products and services is not really the way to go. So I think in the three things that I think are really key, number one is to educate people within what you do. So educate them with good content, with tips, about your industry. Number two, entertain them because they might want to be distracted from what's going on in the real world. But number three, inform them, not overdoing the inform part of too much of the C word, but making sure that if they are within an industry like travel or events, just to keep people up to date with what is happening.
Yeah.
And don't overdo that too much that you actually alienate your audience away from it. So they're the three things I would be concentrating on right now.
Yeah.
Keeping it simple, keeping it light, but making sure that you're keeping your tribe, I call them, your community, engaged with you.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, especially here in Kent, we have a fantastic business community that coalesces around the major social media platforms, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. We have a huge community around that. It's about supporting each other positively within that community, isn't it? We're all going to have a bit of a moan for a little while. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And then we're also, I suspect that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be going, oh dear, so-and-so's gone down with it, and,
I know. And we'll see that within our community as well.
And we're going to see that, and there's going to be some sympathy posts that we're going to be putting out in terms of, you know, get well soon and stuff like that. But it's a sad thing about society as well, though, isn't it? I've already seen some great ideas, you know, people offering to go and do shopping for people. But already people have scammed that.
I can imagine they have.
You know,
and it's being careful on that as well, of who people actually accept to deliver stuff to them or invite into their home.
I've already heard of a scam where people were turning up on someone's doorstep and saying, would you like me to get you shopping? They've given them 50 quid and they've just buggered off with the money. That's terrible, especially when people are trying to help. But there's no getting around that. It's like people, I saw one that did make me laugh. Somebody, it was in America actually, but some bloke had bought up 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer.
Wow.
And was trying to sell them on Amazon at $20 a bottle, and Amazon banned him, basically.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And that serves him right, you know. Because profiteering is just not where you want to be.
You don't. Yeah. And to be seen to be doing that as well, because it's negative on you and your brand.
There's an interesting one I want to raise with you, and I don't know if you saw it. And I'm sorry, I'm going to give them a kicking because they deserve it. But it just shows you how not paying attention to social media can also backfire on you.
Yeah.
A hotel chain called Britannia Hotels, did you see it?
I haven't seen this.
They sent a letter to all their staff that was fairly brutal.
Yeah.
It was, you're sacked, basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A hotel in Scotland. Yeah. And the letter wasn't very well written.
Right.
But one of the staff members posted it on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Right. And then, of course, everybody went, that's disgusting. Yeah. That's terrible. All copying in Britannia Hotel's Twitter account.
Twitter handle,
But they haven't looked at their own Twitter handle for 4 months.
To manage it.
Yeah. So they don't even know that this is going on.
Or their social media manager's the one that got the letter.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that just shows you, I've seen this so often, especially with slightly larger companies whose social media presence isn't managed properly. No.
In terms of that negative, that crisis management part is so crucial.
And the thing is, they don't even know they're being talked about. And it's something that I've always said to people, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, Zoe, about social media. Even if you don't have a social media account, you are still on social media.
You're still on there, and you should be using Google Alerts or some type of alert tool that's listening to what people are saying online that actually informed you. Even if you're not on social media, people are still talking about you and your brand, whether in a good way or a negative way.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep on top of that, because you wouldn't ignore a phone call of someone putting through a complaint or someone wanting to express to you how they feel about your brand. So it's just as important right now.
Absolutely.
Do you know one thing that I think is going to come back? Twitter chats.
Right, okay.
Do you remember the Twitter hours?
I do, yeah.
How great were they?
Yeah.
I reckon they're going to come back with a storm.
Okay, okay, well, let's look at it. We could even start our own.
I know, that's what I mean.
We could start our own, yeah, I remember that.
There was 400 Twitter chats in the UK alone.
Right, okay.
When they were all out. Do you remember, like, Devon Hour, Kent Hour?
Yeah, that's
right. They were brilliant.
Yeah, Yeah.
And I think that's the way networking events should actually think about still keeping their audience live. And I was speaking to Ash Lawrence that does ABC Networks.
Yeah.
He's taken all of his networks on Zoom.
Right.
So they still get their 60 seconds and they're still talking to each other.
Right.
And I said to him, you know, get back on those Twitter chats. It'd be a great opportunity to really bring your audience together. I think it's going to be a great way for businesses to still keep in touch.
Absolutely. Just mentioning Zoom, I just got to say this as well. I'm a board member of a reasonably large charity.
Yeah.
And we had a trustee board meeting, and we had to have it because there's loads of things that we needed to discuss, but of course we couldn't all have it in the same room.
Yeah.
So we tried to do it via Skype. Well, what a disaster that was. And I use Zoom these days.
I
stopped using Skype, and I just found Skype almost impossible.
Yeah, I don't like Skype. It's not user-friendly, is it?
No, it's not. That's what happens when you get taken over by Microsoft, I guess, really.
But it is confusing.
Yeah, but Zoom, it tends to work very well. I was involved in a big conference call in Pakistan via Zoom.
I think it's great.
Perfectly, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about some of those kind of tools in the second half of the show.
Perfect.
Yeah, because there are some things to talk about. And I've got Paul Goggin actually has written a really fantastic blog about working from home.
Oh, okay. We can share that out.
And I've just got some headlines for that we're going to talk about in a minute. But first of all, I think we'll have a quick break and we're going to play a bit of music.
Perfect.
And we got a bit of a message here from Brian Ferry. And what he's asking for us is to stick together.
Yeah, stick together.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Extra show. We have a special show today, hosted by me, Paul Andrews, with my very special guest, the lovely Zoe Cairns from ZC Social Media. And we're talking about what businesses can do to cope with the unfolding crisis that we're having in society at the moment with the pandemic that we're facing, and how small businesses can better utilise, make better use, stop making faux pas, yeah. And all kinds of things, especially with social media and the other communication channels. We've had an interesting tweet from Neil Shorthouse of SHI Hospitality, and he says, great show. What we're seeing with our clients is that so many companies just do not have a crisis plan in place, yeah. Therefore increasing fear and not knowing what to do. We've developed a free guide for anyone who's interested. So if you want to find out what that is, I suggest you follow Neil on Twitter. And his Twitter handle is at SHI underscore hospitality. That's Neil Shorthouse, and his Twitter handle is at SHI underscore hospitality. Do have a look at that. And he's absolutely right. So many of us don't plan for a crisis.
Yeah, and he was telling me about it, that so many companies he's been working with are completely switched off from social as well,
yeah.
And not using that as a medium to get in touch with their audience. Yeah.
Just on planning, I'm being very moany today, but some people deserve it. For the last, one of the things I've always done in business is I've always been aware that cash flow is king.
It
yeah.
Is, right.
And without cash flow, you could die. So in all my businesses, when they've been successful, I've built up cash reserves.
Yeah, yeah.
And HMRC have spent the last 4 years having a right go at me and telling me I shouldn't have so much cash in my business, oh. And that they would re-evaluate me as an investment company if I didn't get rid of it.
No way.
It's blooming lucky I didn't, because it's the only thing keeping me afloat at the moment. So you were wrong.
Yeah.
And Neil's absolutely right. So many people don't have a plan. They don't have a disaster plan.
Yeah.
We haven't got time now, but I could tell you some stories about disaster planning. but you know, you do need to think these things through.
That backup, don't you? You need to think about what's going to happen if that was to happen.
And do you know what? Even for the smallest business, it's always a good idea to think these things through.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because you can do anything about it, but just the act of thinking through in advance before it's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
What would I do if X, Y, or Z happened?
And people are going to learn from this. Those people that haven't planned, this is going to obviously be something that they're going to take forward and learn from themselves.
Absolutely. Well, it's also a useful exercise for potentially diversifying your business as well.
Yeah.
That says, look, if I couldn't do this anymore, what could I do?
Yeah, exactly.
So that you're not caught short. And I've got I've got a few things that I want to talk about in the second half of the show, some guidelines and stuff. But I've had a question come in for you, Zoe.
Go for it.
And it's from Saul Watson.
Oh, yes.
And he says, hi, Paul. I would be interested to hear Zoe's views on small charities that don't receive any government funding and how they could make better use of social media to try and help with their funding.
In terms of their funding with regards to raising the funding or writing the application, is that what he's trying to...
I think he's probably referring to actually raising funding.
Yeah.
But I would broaden it out a bit and say, that so many charities and a lot of smaller charities are actually run by volunteers as well, but they don't make a good enough use of social media, in my humble opinion.
We've been coming up with ideas because we work with companies like Saul at the British Wireless for the Blind Fund. It's a fantastic charity, and you know, the things that we've been telling local charities about fundraising, raising money, raising funding, is about trying to do things at home that they can actually raise funds for. So we can still do fundraising events in our homes. So it could be a bake-off to actually present your bakes, and you ask your people at home what they think. But we can now do Facebook Lives with the actual sponsor, a charity button. So we can actually raise funds, do things in home, even though we are in isolation, and still raise funds that way. In terms of government funding, we can still bring people together online. In terms of bringing board meetings together via Zoom, in terms of having those discussions in what types of funding you've got to raise, it could even be down to having board meetings about what do we need to raise and why do we need to do that. There's still these tools that we can use to do that, and I hopefully that's what Saul's referring to.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. The use of digital technology really isn't as well developed as it should be in smaller charities, and they are really missing a trick. Just as a for instance, I'm going to make you're going to hear Amanda laugh, even though she's not here when I say this. I occasionally buy things on Amazon, not every day, but I use a thing called Amazon Smile.
I've not heard of it.
Yeah, Amazon Smile donate a portion of everything you spend with Amazon to a charity of your choice.
Oh, wow, okay.
And for me, I donate it to Kenwood Trust, a charity that I'm a trustee of. But absolutely everything I buy, a small portion of that is given to the charity. It's not a huge amount. Yeah, it's peanuts. But if you think, a large number of people do it, it amounts to quite a bit of money.
And so that's something we could really push out in terms of charity.
And you don't need to do anything to make it happen. You just need to be a registered charity.
Yeah, of course.
So when I set up Smile, it was really simple. I saw an email from Amazon that said, do you want to do this? And all that happens is when you log on to Amazon, instead of logging on to amazon.co.uk, you log on to smile.amazon.co.uk and then sign in, and it already knows who you want to donate it all to. When you finish your shopping for that day, it says, congratulations, you've sent X amount of money to Kenwood Trust.
Oh, no, that's lovely. It's
simple, isn't it?
But another way in which charities could be using it, whilst we are at home and self-isolating, this is a great way, again, for them to build their tribe, build their community.
Absolutely.
Of people that actually, when there is light at the end of the tunnel, that want to start helping them with volunteering, with fundraising, all that type of stuff, and create that community group of people that want to go forth and help you.
Absolutely. I want to kind of focus on some of the things now, because there are some things that we're going to need to address. So I just want to run through these quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
A lot of people are going to be struggling. Unfortunately, there's going to be quite a few redundancies. Yep. People are losing their jobs, and things are going to be tight. So we've got a blog that might help on Kent Business Radio, written by Athel Bray.
Okay.
And it's how to access your own money rather than using payday loans.
So
don't panic. Don't use payday loans. Don't necessarily use your credit card. You might have to. But there are ways of releasing your assets before you commit to doing that. So have a read of the blog. It's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/access money.
Perfect.
Yeah. Have a look at that. Read it. Certainly don't use payday loans.
Interest rate.
You know, it's a downward spiral. And also, while we're on that, there's a fantastic blog on Money Saving Expert website.
Did you see him last night?
Yeah, I did.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, you can tell us about that in a moment, Zoe. Martin Lewis, who's Money Saving Expert, there's a blog on their website which is all about how to deal with redundancy, how to manage your bills, what help and what compensation. So I'll just read what it says here. Losing your job can be a huge financial hit, affecting your ability to pay bills and bringing about an urgent need to reevaluate spending. If you're at risk, there are ways you can protect yourself. This guide details how you can prepare financially, gives tips on minimizing the impact if it's happening to you. and outlines your right to any compensation. So go have a look at the blog. It's moneysavingexpert.com/family-redundancy-help.
Perfect.
Check that out. But you tell them about what Martin's done.
I love Martin Lewis. Yeah. And I think last night that it was only half an hour long, but that what he gave, he used the word forbearance.
Yeah.
And in everything in the show, he used that particular word.
Yeah.
But he was giving some really great tips. He was giving resources that people could go and look at. He was using examples. You know, he even got people phoning in, and some of the scenarios there were just, you know, the people are in awkward situations. They don't know what to do. And as he was saying, and as you've said, in terms of the packages that people are being offered, they're not even available yet for people to access and action.
Yep.
So how long is it actually going to take for them to even get that? And I think one of the scenarios was that this guy had he was a freelancer, and he had his contracts had come to an end, or, you know, quite shortly to an end because of what had been going on. But he said, you know, it's going to take me weeks to get this credit through Universal Credit. And Martin Lewis just gave some fantastic resources and scenarios, but also some creative stuff, which I love about him.
Yeah.
You know, to look at it in a different way.
Yeah. Do you know Martin has also donated £1 million of his own money to in March to small charities.
Brilliant.
In grants of up to 25 grand. Again, it's on Money Saving Expert. If you run a small charity and you normally depend on fundraising, not from government grants. He's awarding small amounts of money for small charities.
Brilliant.
You can apply up until March 31st.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so
maybe
that's fantastic.
Look at that. Maybe he might be legible, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, this is one of the powers of social media, isn't it? We can bring all of this to the attention of people that might need it.
Yeah.
So it's one of the positives about social media.
Yeah.
Is that you can get the word out there, and you can, the thing that I love more than anything, and I've always been a researcher, I've always been a reader like that. And years ago, before they invented technology, when we all used to chisel things with a hammer and chisel into stone tablets, you still find out things, but it was really hard to share them.
Share them, yeah.
Whereas now, it's just a link,
so
isn't it?
It's so easy to share, yeah.
Yeah, you just go, hey, listen, go and read that, and here's the link. Just all you've got to do is click on it, and you can read it.
And do you know what you said about you shared that song a moment ago with Brian Ferry, was it? We are all in this together, and I think what the great thing about social is that everyone's got a different story and a scenario, but yet everyone is in the same situation in terms of what's going on right now, and I think it's great support.
Absolutely. I want to read you this. It's some simple stuff. It's a blog that we've just put up, and there's a lot more to the blog, so go and read the blog afterwards. Yeah. So I'm just going to do some of the headlines from it. Yeah. It's Simple Steps to Work and Collaborate Securely from Home, and it was written by Paul Goggin, who's an IT cloud specialist. And he says, we're all dealing with a sudden huge change to the way we need to live and work. As someone who's evangelized about the benefits of remote working for some time, I've compiled this list of simple steps to help you and your team work from home effectively and securely. Number one, productivity, internet. Before you do any work, check that your home internet connection is actually fast enough to cope. Good point. Run an internet speed test from broadbandtest.which.co.uk. Anything over 2 megabit download and 0.5 upload should be fine.
Yeah.
Check that your mobile phone contract includes unlimited data.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because your monthly bill will detail this. If your broadband goes down, you'll still be able to work online by using your mobile phone as a hotspot. And just, I'm adding a caveat to that. If your home broadband isn't fast enough, normally your 4G is, but do be careful that you're not spending money. If you don't have an unlimited package, right now it's probably worth it.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be spending more money on that. Yeah,
absolutely. Or at least buy a big 50 gigabyte package.
Yeah.
Because it is easy to eat through data, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you are on a bought package and using your 4G as an internet method, I suggest you don't download box sets.
Oh, no, I don't. You watch Netflix and Now TV.
Yeah. Save your files to the cloud. Saving files on your computer is convenient but risky.
Yeah.
if your computer crashes during this crisis, you ain't going to get an engineer, are you?
So cloud's going to be key.
Yeah, so cloud's going to be key for backing up everything you do. Back it up on a regular basis, certainly at least once a day.
Yeah.
And probably, if you can, even more often. The amount of people I've seen that have been typing something and a computer goes bosh.
Yeah, and it disappears completely.
And it's gone completely and you've lost a couple of hours' work. Yeah. That's frustrating enough.
Yeah.
So back up on a regular basis. And he's got a thing called morning stand-up, yeah? Call it a roll call it a catch-up or whatever you want, but start a group video call for 15 minutes each morning with all your whole team members and all the people that you
great.
Work
We've
with.
We've been doing that.
Have you?
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. It's just to check on everybody, make sure everyone's happy, and just say hi. It's like a coffee room chat, basically. And he goes on to say, so chat regularly. So Paul's got over 20 years experience in IT, and he's a cloud specialist. If you want to find out more about him, you can go to his website, which is www.innovo, which is INNOVO-IT.com, INNOVO-IT.com. If you want to read his full blog with loads of links and all directions of traffic, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/work-at-home, all the information is on there to help you work at home effectively. So, Zoe, I mean, where do we go from here? What do we do next, do you think? What social media platforms are being useful? What aren't so useful at the moment?
I think every different platform at the moment is unique in its own way in terms of what we're going to use it for. So with Twitter, you know, still stay connected with people with those, you know, I really believe Twitter chats are going to come back.
Right,
You know, engage with each other. Go
well, you start one later and I'll join in.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, and I think it'd be great. You know, you know, the days of Twitter chats and we could just log in at a certain time, you know, for Kent Hour and stuff like that was great. So I think Twitter's going to be a real great tool for us to network on the spot, but also know the latest news about what's going on in the world anyway. In regards to Facebook, we've got Facebook Live. In particular, the groups. Make sure you're building your tribes and your communities. Make sure you're actually making, you know, in keeping them engaged, but not ruining your brand reputation.
Yeah.
You've got the use of Facebook Live. You know, share and support each other. Mm. You know, provide your audience with key information and knowledge and content that's going to help them through this.
Absolutely.
And then with Instagram, Instagram's great for being inspired and keeping motivated. Visually, and then LinkedIn, just helping each other support each other through these times, you know, from a professional manner in terms of it helping people and giving them advice from a business point of view.
Absolutely. We've kind of woken everybody up now, and we've got tweets coming.
Oh, have we got tweets?
Yeah, we've got quite a few tweets. Tracy Ferguson was saying, great ideas again for charities from Zoe, bringing together communities, and I love the Amazon Smile idea too.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Amanda. Yeah, I think Paul is Amazon's best customer. Yeah, probably. The FSB are saying they've got a webinar going on right now where they want to hear from businesses. They're also compiling some case studies.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a member of FSB, but they want to take things to the government and say, look, this is the feedback we're getting.
Yeah.
So if you've got something... You know, we've already told them all the drawbacks to this.
Yeah.
If you've got a particular case study, something about your business or your industry that you think isn't being supported at the moment and or has caused a particular problem outside of the problems we all have, do get in touch with Alison at the...
And she's lovely, Alison.
Oh, she's
She'll
brilliant. She's
forth.
Really brilliant.
Yeah.
Get in touch with Alison. You can follow them on the Twitter, FSB Kent and Medway.
Yeah, perfect. And the other thing is, after this at 12, I hope you don't mind me putting this in there.
No, go for
Roland Stanley at Dragon Co-working, along with Cole and I'm trying to think of...
Joe.
They've got together an event going on throughout this afternoon on Zoom. And if you go to togethernetworking.co.uk, they've got events going on this afternoon on Zoom where they've got their co-workers sharing different content points, which is really great.
Fantastic. I hope Carl and Joe are going to be dressed for this.
Yeah, I hope they're going to be dressed as well.
For those that don't know,
JK
Media, Carl and Joe, did a big fundraising, which I was involved in, not in the fundraising.
It was a street soccer
sleep out, and they ended up raising quite a lot of money, many thousands of pounds, and one of the things they agreed to do was a forfeit where they posed naked.
And one of them had their legs shaved
and one had their head shaved as well. But they posed live for still life drawing, which was not a pretty sight. Yeah, but well done. Yeah. So I hope they're dressed for this
I hope they're dressed as well, especially going on Zoom and live.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings. And they say, Paul and Zoe, DC Squirrel, that's Paul Manville, he's a volunteer show presenter on 105.9 Academy FM. Yeah. That's their Twitter handle. He's on 105.9 Academy FM. The radio station has reacted to the fact that you're advised not to go out, so we're bringing the party to you. Fridays are 80s and 90s and clubs classics.
Oh,
so do have a listen in.
Yeah, that's great.
And you'll also find Sound of Spitfire, an internet radio station up there in Lincolnshire run by Chris Hyde. They've had some fantastic shows there. They've got a schedule of, like, because everyone's working from home, they're working from home, they're broadcasting from home. They've got a schedule right the way through from breakfast to the late evening. Some fantastic shows. So do have a listen to Sound of Spitfire. You can also listen to Channel Radio 1.
Brilliant.
This is where one of the things I'm really pleased about is that local and community radio stations have managed to hang in there through the tough times of business. And because we're here, we can do what we're doing now, which is entertain people while they're locked in their homes.
Supporting people.
And quite often, you know, obviously we have things like the BBC and the big commercial radio stations, and they're there to be listened to. But sometimes you just want something different.
And you want local people actually walking the walk and talking the talk and
getting
on with it.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it. Sorry, I'm trying to catch up with the tweets and look at the time as well. We've got Sound of Spitfire. Why not do a Twitter chat during the repeat of this show, which is on at 1 o'clock today? Maybe we could do that. That's a good idea.
Make sure I get home quick enough.
Give us a break, Chris. I've been ordered to go and find some toilet roll. I've got no chance of that. I've got a message. We've run out of toilet roll at home. Oh, no.
I know, that's the worst time to be running out.
Just because I've got what is the matter with everybody? There is not a shortage of toilet roll. Yeah. Let me just tell you something about toilet roll, okay? Because I just happen to know. I don't know why I know, but I know.
Go on.
Right. One factory in the UK produces 5 million toilet rolls a day.
Wow.
Right. One factory, 5 million toilet rolls. There are more than 12 factories operating in the UK.
Yeah.
That produce toilet rolls. Yeah. So that's like 50 million toilet rolls a day. We don't have a toilet roll shortage. Yeah. And I just, this is just a fact I know. And I don't know why. Do you know why Andrex is called Andrex?
Why?
Because it was originally made, it's made by Kimberly Clark these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Northfleet, actually.
Kimberly Clark when I was young.
Did you?
Yeah, for a tour.
Well, Kimberly Clark's European head office is in Maidstone.
Yeah.
But their main toilet roll plant is at Northfleet.
Yeah.
But the reason Andrex is called Andrex is the original company that made it was Andrews Paper Mills. Yeah.
Oh.
In Walthamstow.
Yeah.
Right. In Andrews Road, Walthamstow.
Oh, my God.
So they called it Andrex. Yeah. But obviously that paper mill doesn't exist anymore, and Bow Water Scott bought them, and then Kimberly Clark bought Bow Water Scott. But there's some unrelated bog roll facts for you.
And there is some things on social that you really want to laugh out loud at as to what's going on. I think there was one of Mr. Bean about where he was going to travel, and there was a picture of his bedroom or his kitchen, you know, over the summer. And as much as you want to laugh out loud, it's really sensitive right now.
Yeah.
But those sorts of things are probably keeping people going as well in terms of what's going on.
It's an interesting... just in the final few minutes we've got on the show, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that I want to raise here as well, is that... one of the problems with social media that I see is there are too many people looking to take offence about things.
Yeah.
Now, some things are offensive. There's no doubt about that. And I'm a great one for blocking and muting and just cutting people off if they're offensive.
Yeah.
And even if you're offended by something that hasn't offended anybody else, don't follow them or block them or mute them. But one of the great things about the British is we have a very black sense of humour.
Yeah.
And when things go wrong, we tend to laugh it off.
Yeah.
And there's been some posts that I thought were fairly innocuous posts. You know, they were. It's a bit. Yeah, oh, that was a bit near the knuckle.
Yeah.
But they're funny in a black humour kind of way.
Yeah.
Yet some people have gone absolutely tonto over it and made a real... And I don't see the point in that.
Yeah.
If you're offended by it, block the person, and just walk on by and just go, idiot.
But some people deal with it in different ways. Some people are really emotional at the moment. Some people are trying to laugh it off to make themselves feel better about it. So, you know, social media, I think it's about us all coming together and helping each other.
Yep.
And if there is something that's worrying you, reach out to someone, you know, and talk about it. And that's what I've told my community. If you've got any questions, you've got any concerns, please reach out. I might not know the answer, but I'll know someone that can help you.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's the way people should be thinking right now.
Yeah. We had a tweet from Gemma Faircloth Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. Great ideas from Zoe. Thank you so much. And it's all about bringing communities together.
Yeah, it is.
And she's also an Amazon shopper, and she says, I love Amazon too.
And Gemma's done amazing. You know, we are a client of Gemma's. And Gemma in this time has been creating PDFs for us about how to deal with different scenarios. Yeah. She's just been so on top of it. And she's delivering the right stuff.
Absolutely. Gemma's in one of those fortunate positions where her business is in demand. Gemma is an employment lawyer. And, of course, there's a lot of stuff going on, with employment and how you handle things like sick pay. Because all of that's changed, just for what it's worth. Back in 2014, the government made businesses responsible for statutory sick pay.
Yeah.
Whereas before that, the government had always paid it.
Yeah.
And it was another one of those things they slipped through and made us responsible, you know, pay more tax, but pay it yourself as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, businesses were responsible for paying statutory sick pay. And part of the new government, what should we call them, crisis announcements, was that the government are going to go back to paying the statutory sick pay themselves.
Yeah.
They haven't told us how to claim it yet.
No, that's the other thing, isn't
it? But they are going to pay it.
Isn't he on this afternoon, though, at 5 o'clock?
There's a conference this afternoon to announce some further things on how they're going to implement it. I'm not knocking the government. You know, it's seat-of-the-pants stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're having to listen as they're going.
Natalie from Accounting Connections, who's, again, another one that's within Gemma's circle, she has been giving some fantastic updates on her social media. So Natalie, you know, I just want to give her a bit of a shout out as well. She's been fantastic.
Absolutely. I want to point you at this as well.
Yeah, go for
because
it.
You know, a lot of us have old and vulnerable relatives that we're worried about. A lot of us have young kids too that we're also worried about. And then the schools are suspended from today. Yeah. And I can't see them going back much before the end of summer.
No.
So, you know, it's going to be quite fraught out there. So I want to point you at a blog. What have I done with it? Let me find the link. Sorry about this. Here it is. It's a blog on how to protect your mental health.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, how to keep yourself sane when we're all crammed together at home, locked in, can't get toilet roll anywhere.
But the voice lawyers would be doing well.
Exactly. Well. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. Anyway, this is on the BBC website. It's how to protect your mental health whilst all this is going on and how to kind of minimise the anxiety that we're all facing at the moment. If you go to www.bbc.co.uk/news/health 518-73799, but I'm sure you'll find it if you search news stroke health. It's a really interesting blog with some good ideas about how to protect yourself and your sanity while this is going on. But just on that, two kind of related but unrelated things is that with the lock-in in China, because China obviously were there first, they've just started releasing everybody from home. And in one town in China, they unlocked everybody and said, right, you can come out now. That same day, 88 couples filed for divorce.
Wow.
The other thing we're going to do is get a baby boom just before December, aren't we?
I've heard lots of that. Definitely.
And what worries me is you might get a bit of both, so you might get a lot of single parents suddenly turn up in December. But basically, our message to you out there is hang in there. Try to think of alternatives. If your business is badly affected by this, don't oversell. Don't jump on a bandwagon. Just join in with the community, support each other, ask for help.
Keep them engaged, ask for help.
You know, we don't. You can't sell your way out of this.
No.
But you can ask for help. You can ask for people to be
supportive,
respectful of your situation.
I think it is about looking after your community. And I'm here if you've got any questions, you want to tweet me or you want to private message me, any questions, just get in touch. You know, I'm here to help as much as I can.
Sorry, I wasn't laughing at what you said, which is very, very good. There's a tweet from, hold on. I'm getting all in a tizzy. It's a tweet from Gemma. It says, if I ever want to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I'm having Vanilla Web as my phone a friend in case we get a question on toilet rolls.
Brilliant. I love that. It's brilliant, Gemma. Oh, that's great.
And I've had a tweet from Tracy Ann Barker, and she says, I had to pause the show. My stepson's working from home today and needed some technical advice, but I'm back now and listening again.
Brilliant.
Welcome back, Tracy Ann. Thank you for that.
It's been a great show, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. You know, as Zoe just said, she's here for you. I'm here for you. If you want any help, if you want a support, if you want a shoulder to lean on, just reach out. You know, you can find us on social media, Zoe_Cairns or me, Vanilla Web. Send me a DM. I'm happy to try and help if I can. And we need to help each other. We need to support each other. We need to work locally. That's the thing. We will get through this. Yeah. We always get through this eventually.
Yeah.
The landscape's going to be a very different place when we do get through it. And my advice to businesses is, whilst I know, and hey, listen, I'm affected as much as anyone, if not more so, the fact is there will be opportunities. And now's the time to start thinking about how the landscape will have changed when we come out of this the other side. And the kind of things, just to give you some pointers in where to start looking, where to take your business, what kind of things to look for. As Neil said earlier, is disaster planning.
Yeah.
Disaster planning for small business is going to be a big thing, because this is probably the first time that a lot of people in business has come up against something that's out of their control and is scary. And so disaster recovery planning is going to be a big thing. There's going to be a lot more working from home.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, Zoe, I don't know why we haven't been doing this anyway.
We've got
a climate crisis.
It's made us all do it now.
Perhaps this will be the impetus to get government to say, do you know what? We're going to give tax incentives for you to work at home. That was the coronavirus business bunker special. We'll be back with And for all of you lot, for joining in and tweeting and emailing and all the rest of it, we will get through this. Let's go for the positive. Let's support each other. Let's go local. And we'll be back with another local Business Bunker show here on bizradio.co.uk next week, next Tuesday. So have a great week, everybody, and bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.